Hey, this is Ryan Sickler from the Crab Feast Podcast right here on All Things Comedy, and I'm excited to announce that my new album, Get a Hold of Yourself, is available now. Get it on iTunes, Amazon, Google Play, Spotify, Pandora, and everywhere else you get comedy and music. Follow me on all social media at Ryan Sickler, RyanSickler.com.
You're now listening to Movie Night with your hosts, Dwayne Perkins and TK Kelly.
Welcome, everyone, to the Movie Night podcast. I am TK Kelly, joined, as always, by my hilarious co-host, Mr. Dwayne Perkins. Each and every week, we watch a movie, a guest comes on, they also watch that movie, we talk about that movie.
Indeed, and this week we have a very special guest, really hilarious comic who I usually just see out and about. We actually always run into each other on like in supermarkets and places like that. His new album is called "That Happens to the Best of Us," available on iTunes and everywhere else you can download comedy or music. Mr. Jeremy Scipio is with us tonight. Man, that's what's like
that. He's mostly a sound effects comic.
Nice, yes.
Just so you know, strap it. What's going on, man? What have you been up to?
Yo, man, I've been kicking it, man. I need to stop sounding like a rapper. But everything's been cool, man. I was just trying to wrap up this year in style. Most of the year I've been traveling, but I actually slowed down. I went to Edinburgh.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
First time?
Festival?
Yes.
Oh, that's dope.
No, man. I just went to see Edinburgh. Just heard it was a great town.
Yeah, but that was fun. It was intense. And I learned a lot. So, yeah.
Nice.
That's cool, man. That's a big undertaking. Like, for any listeners who don't know, like, explain to this is a festival that's like a month.
Yeah, it's this debatably the biggest comedy festival. I mean, I would say, rivaling Montreal. It's like, but the whole town is just one big comedy. Like, people are obsessed with this. Like,
just this town in Scotland.
Yeah,
great.
And the people who live there, they're literally just going crazy. They can't. Because, this is like your town was your town and then just comedy.
Right.
The whole essence of what, like the good and the bad parts.
Just a month a year, you get a bunch of fucking comedian assholes showing up and they're asshole fans.
And you have to try to get people to your show, too.
Yeah.
Right?
A lot of barking, abstract styles of comedy because it's not, mm-hmm. They kind of stray away from just traditional stand-up.
Right.
So you got to, with that many shows going on, you got to do something to set yourself apart a bit.
Absolutely. And the nights with like out here normally, around 1 or 2, things tend to wind down. Mm-hmm. They're, man, like 5:30, 6 a.m. That's when things tend to slow down.
And the reason why I asked if you did the festival, I went to Edinburgh before, but I was there doing a comedy club. I was doing the Glee.
Oh, really?
And the Glee, they have a great condo. One of the best comedy condos, I swear to you. It's in like this big brownstone. It's just amazing. But I remember hanging out in Edinburgh and it was like late at night and the sun is still up because it's so far north, especially if it's like summer or spring.
Uh-huh.
And like 10 o'clock and the sun is still up. You're like, shit.
That's going to fuck with you.
Yeah.
You saw the sun. It was so
just
dreary.
Cloudy as shit while you were there.
Right. Well, you probably.
Sun for an hour.
Well, like this is like the beginning of summer. Yeah. You know? Uh-huh. Sun is
the
up.
3 days of sun they get.
And then like hanging out. Sun goes down, you're hanging out, you're talking to someone, it's like 2 or 3 a.m., sun comes back up.
Yep.
that's fucking crazy,
yeah,
man.
Casual.
So it's just not, how long were you there?
I did 2 weeks. I didn't do the full run.
And just like nonstop comedy the whole time.
Yeah, absolutely. But like, it was cool because, it's just the amount of connection. It just really opens your mind to just, different aspects of comedy. Like, you think just because it's things that happen in the States, but just out there, I know I'm not saying much, but it's just, I was just really thinking, like, there's this guy, Paul Curry. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys know him. I learned a lesson from that guy. I mean, he had a show, Jessica Michelle Singleton, I'm going to shout random people out, Ari Shaffir, Jeffrey Baldinger, we all went to a show of Paul Curry's, and it was just so much randomness. He went from... having blown up. I know it sounds stupid. I need to make this make sense. I'll just say that his message was breaking tradition.
I see.
Mm-hmm. I mean, because he did the like this Kermit the Frog thing, and then midway through, while everybody's like, "Oh my god," he did like a spot on rendition of Kermit, and then he took the puppet off and just did his hand and just kept doing it.
Yeah.
So he's like breaking your childhood dreams, but at the same time creating new memories, and like each of the really good shows left you with something. And that's what I liked. And that's what
right,
I learned.
Right. So. And how did the people receive it? Because it's sort of like I was talking last week about comedy when I was thinking I kind of write comedy for sober people, but I do it mainly for drunk people or people who are drinking.
Yeah.
And so the Edinburgh pictures, like, these are small theaters, so like mm-hmm. I haven't been to the festival, but I'm picturing most rooms don't have wait staffs or, you know, like,
absolutely not. No.
And so like it's more of a theater thing.
Yeah.
And definitely. So
it seems like that's like a seasoned audience that shows up there.
Well, it's a mix because it's free for all. You know, like there's drunks, and then there's like the main part of the festival. You know, that's like has a full itinerary of what's going on is a little more controlled.
Right, right.
But then further down the street, you got just randomness.
Right,
you know? And but the cool part is that you get a chance to do all of it in one day.
Right.
You know what I mean,
so and people. I guess people come looking for something different, would you say? Like the audience members?
Yeah, well, yeah. Some do. Like some are literal comic enthusiasts, you know. Right, like they love comedy and they, you know, they
study. Yeah, I mean it's like the Mecca. Like if there's a yearly event to go to for like a real comedy fan, I that's like Woodstock there. That's,
absolutely. Yeah,
it's such a devoted giant piece of it's a town it's yeah. this giant piece of real estate that's just like all comedy for a month. There's got to be people showing up for the love of comedy because right. like, you know, they're not there to see Edinburgh,
right,
which I'm sure is beautiful. I don't know,
it's almost crazy to believe like that like they really, it's like the rules are all based around comedy. Like you don't get that anywhere else, you know. Like I said, if it's not the biggest, it's definitely the second biggest.
Yeah. I love festivals in general, I think, are great for, like you said, kind of expanding your mind a little bit in that, like getting you out of your little world. When you're just doing comedy in LA for the most part, you realize your world becomes very small.
Mm-hmm.
And right. then just even going to domestic festivals, you just meet so many comics that are, oh, yeah, there are people doing this in every city in America. Like, who have such a different perspective than what I'm used to seeing. And then you go and extrapolate that out to like going to Scotland. Mm-hmm. And that's gotta be like, it's just gotta be so interesting and bring out people who love comedy, which is the best thing that festivals do, is it gets you an audience that wants to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Right, instead right. of like, well, you guys were here watching the Lakers game. That's over. Comedy time. Right. Like, fuck you. Right, get right. ready.
And I adapted to the culture so quick. Cause I was like, at first I was nervous about it, but I became my own diet, and I made my own like Scottish friends, and I adapted so fast.
Nice.
You want to go back and do it, you think?
Absolutely.
I've heard, I feel like I know a lot of comics who've done it and are like, fuck yes, that's the best thing ever. I cannot wait to go back.
And I highly recommend it for everybody.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's awesome. And you put out an album.
Yeah.
That's fucking great. Yeah. You had a year, man.
Yeah.
when did you put out the album?
Actually, it's only two weeks ago. Yeah.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Just that's in time great. For Christmas. So put that in people's stocking stuffers.
You know stocking what he means. You yeah, fuck you guys. You know what he means.
I'm not drunk. I just had a fruit bruise.
Yo, I got to tell you real quick. I have a fear like, pretty much my mother, she would always like fumble over words. She can't say spaghetti to save her life. And she always defer to me to say things, you know.
Right.
Because yeah, I was like the child. I don't know. But now in my life, I mess up all these words. I'm like, oh no, I'm going to blame my mother.
Yeah. You know? you become your parents. Absolutely.
Dude, you my feel that too when too. You do that on stage. Oof. Like in your head, it's the biggest deal. Right, and really, like if you just forge ahead, it's probably fine. You probably fucked up the joke. Like, be honest with yourself. It's not going to land like it should now.
Right.
But man, when you do that and you really stumble, like, oh fuck, how you feel that? That's rough. I hate that shit. And I've done it twice recently on this one new joke, and now it's in my head, and I'm like, I'm not going to be able to get this fucking joke out.
You're like Marquise.
Oh yeah, Fultz. Marcus Fultz. Yeah. Marcus Fultz. Oh my god, dude, that fucking free throw. Did you see that?
No.
Oh, he pumped on a free throw. He's got the yips
in his head. Yeah. He's a guy that plays for Philly. He was like, what, first round pick or?
First pick overall.
Wow.
First pick overall.
And then, he got an injury. The
decent,
injury
decent shooter in college.
Injury happened first, right?
Yeah.
And now he can't throw a ball into the ocean.
He's doing that Charles Barkley golf swing thing, yeah. But at the free throw line.
Yo, that sucks.
Fucking man. Rough to watch. There's like 50 dudes in the G League watching that game. Like, this motherfucker is in the league. Do you see this? This is bullshit. I fucking shoot 89% from the stripe.
That's crazy, man.
Let's get into this movie.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it. An interesting pick. Dwayne Perkins random special from 1997. Gross Point Blank, directed by George Armitage, starring John Cusack, Minnie Driver, Dan Aykroyd, Joan Cusack.
Yeah,
several
Joan
other
has
Cusacks.
To be in all of his music.
There's
yeah,
his other movies. Sister's in it, too, and a brother, I believe.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh.
There's more Cusacks than you think.
Right.
What made you pick this movie?
You saw me and you was like, this is perfect.
What does Jeremy Sipia
well,
watch?
I'll tell you a few
late
things.
90s white romantic comedies.
So when I watched this movie, I watched it in a condo in Australia. I just got back, right?
So Dwayne picked it based on, I already watched this.
No, they have all these movies in the condo. And but the one thing the condo doesn't have, and I don't want to put them on blast, is they don't have Wi-Fi, mm-hmm. right? So I'm going to cafes. I'm emailing you, Jeremy. Yeah. Going back to the condo.
Oh, you were in Australia.
Oh, I was
wow.
in Australia when we
I didn't
we,
know
yeah.
that.
So then I basically looked at all the movies they had. Which ones would I like to watch? I wrote down three. Went back to a cafe, checked to make sure we hadn't done them.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, checked the spreadsheet we keep online, the Google spreadsheet, and then I emailed you and I picked this one. I always liked this movie.
Uh-huh.
There were other movies they had that I had not seen. But for me, Cusack had a run. You know what I mean?
Oh, definitely.
And so I always mess with Cusack.
And this is an interesting movie. I think I agree with Jeremy's reaction when you sent what movie we were doing. I was like, okay, I guess. But like this movie is more interesting than it. Like I remembered it a bit more as like a fucking 90s rom-com with like, I do love the aspect that he's a hitman. I think it's a great idea. But yeah, it's more interesting than it strikes you as. What did you think of it, man? Had you ever seen it before?
I haven't. And it's funny because, I joke about, you know, it being like one of the whitest movies I've ever even heard of. But
anything John Cusack in is white as fuck. Let's be honest.
Yeah, yeah. But honestly, you know, like I used to watch all those type of movies back then. I don't know. It just kind of skipped my radar.
Uh-huh.
I'm pretty sure something more interesting was in the box office at the time. I was like,
right.
I would say my first, when I was watching the movie, as I was taking it in, I was like, yo, they look at death as something adorable in this movie.
Interesting. Like,
whenever they kill people.
It's such a dark undertone, which I fucking love. Like, I love the idea to be like, let's kind of slap a romantic comedy, a kind of normal comedy into this hyper violent world of hitmen, but just treat it all comically. And also would just be like, well, they're bad people, so fucking whatever.
Yeah, but they don't even, I don't know, they could have played the comedy up more. You know, I would say, you know, if it was made today, either play the comedy up more or make it more serious. But
that's an interesting point. Yeah. I think they were trying to be matter of fact about the comedy, like they wanted the comedy to come from a real place. But yeah, I guess your point is, well, he's a hitman, so, you know, like this doesn't live in a Will Ferrell world movie, but it could.
It could.
Absolutely.
It's either got to be that, like, ridiculous,
right,
or it's got to be dark and comic. And this, I agree, I think it's weirdly in between,
It's
like, I'm with you on the sentiment of it. This is a great idea,
and
parts of it are very enjoyable, but too much of it feels like, what the fuck am I watching? Like, what world is this living in? I don't understand. That's exactly.
It's just like, I don't know. But I laugh at that part of it, you know. And it's
And I wonder maybe how intentional was that. But maybe was the intention to be like, let's literally just slap a hitman into a romantic comedy and not treat it as the crazy thing that it is.
It also feels like it's not, but it feels like a John Hughes movie.
It does a little bit.
But they just grew up. And one became a hitman.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes, very much. Exactly. And that's really, I mean, they even treat
and
it
they didn't
as,
really grow up.
They even treat it as that within the movie. Like, everyone in this little town stayed. They did. Right, they grew up to do some boring job. And then it's like the one guy who, like, oh, what happened to you? You just disappeared. I professionally murder people.
He told every...
I love it.
So
I love how many people he told.
And nobody believed him.
I love that because that, like, it's that perfect case of I'm just going to be honest with something that's so crazy that no one's going to believe me anyway.
Right, right, right.
Yeah. I love it. I do like there the idea of a hitman who's trying to kind of reconcile with ditching this girl on prom night. It's such an interesting idea.
But that's another thing too. And I don't mean this in the worst way. I actually identify with it because I'm a hitman and I, you know, try to follow my history.
Someday when we find out he's really a hitman, we'll be like, he told us. He fucking told us. No, but we laughed.
But it's you know, it's his indifference to the things. Like, even he says things and you could tell he doesn't necessarily mean them. He's just, I mean, if anything, I analyze it like this guy's clearly a sociopath.
Oh, for sure. And he plays it. I think he plays it really interesting. John Cusack plays this character as like he is for sure a sociopath, but he's lighthearted enough that you enjoy it. Right. But yeah, this is a fucking crazy person. And that's only addressed really once when she, out of nowhere, is like, you're a psycho. And this is before she knows he's killing people.
Right.
Like, this is a truly insane person. Right. But even, she hasn't seen him in 10 years and he shows up and he's been killing people. Like, this is actually a terrifying scenario.
Yeah. And it's not and to say love or he's in love and all that stuff. Like, wasn't in love. He was obsessed with this dream he kept having, and he wanted to find out why.
Yeah.
Interesting. You know, so interesting is that it's so much like his character in High Fidelity, who, like, when we meet him, he just wants to figure out his relationships, and so he wants to talk to all his ex-girlfriends. Like, and that's the thing. I think I like the movie. Maybe I'm a sociopath for not catching it, but it's kind of like, what they struggle with when I let them, you have to suspend disbelief. So I gave them a pass on the fact of, okay, you kill people, but you're at this crossroad and you really love this girl.
Yeah,
but you threaten your psychologist and you make them talk to you.
I love that. that's my favorite thing about this movie is when they do have those big shifts where you see him being like vulnerable, talking about these dreams and how much he misses this girl, and then a second later implies that, like, if you stop treating me, I'll kill you. I really did enjoy that. I would be interested to maybe see a darker version of that. But I do appreciate that they kept that tone throughout.
Yeah.
And it was just like treated as, well, this is a guy who got this job, and now he's not quite happy with his job and his life, and it's like you identify with that.
He was the most honest character in the whole thing.
Yeah.
Oh my God, because he was like, he said, "I can't believe you now. I don't know whether to believe what you just said."
Alan Arkin is so funny.
He's so funny.
What did he say? He said, "You didn't mean." He said, "I didn't mean it. It was just a joke." He said, "But you say that, but you really mean
it." But you said it, and like, I love the moments where he's just sitting there eating a sandwich, giving him like this profound life advice. That Alan Arkin really kills this movie. Dan Aykroyd, like, super interesting in this movie.
Super interesting choice, but yeah.
Yes.
And I love Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah, what I like about the Aykroyd...
But like, he's not who you expect to show up.
What I like about the Aykroyd scenes too is that, like, the distrust almost... They don't trust each other so much that it's almost trust. You know what I mean?
Yes. Like,
like, I respect you, which is why I respect what you do. You're good at what you do, so I'm gonna always have a gun pointed at you.
Yes,
because you're gonna always, like, have a gun pointed at me.
But also, there's like, they're part of this brotherhood too.
Right.
They get each other, and so there's this closeness. I love those scenes. The scene in the diner is so fucking good.
This diner scene was really good.
And I like that. There's no way a hitman looks. Like, we don't really know how a hitman looks or acts. And he almost goes
somebody's
out of his
a hitman. Like, somebody who knows somebody probably a hitman.
He goes out of his way to, like, wear black. And people kind of comment on it, too. Like, what? Even his mom, who doesn't even know where she is half the time, she's like, what are you dressed like this for?
You look like a gangster.
You look like a gangster. Whereas,
and his old teacher.
Dan Aykroyd looks like a fucking mortician. Social studies teacher or something.
Yeah, he looks like a fucking shop teacher. Like, with his little gut. Oh, yeah. there was interesting things about this movie, and that's what I've seen. I had seen it before, and I remembered like really liking aspects of it. Mm-hmm. Also, I mean, I don't want to be a fucking hater, but I think part of the what I don't like about this movie is that I don't think Minnie Driver was the right person for this.
Interesting.
For this character.
Can I tell you, she grew on me.
Yeah,
she grew on me.
I just know. Said the whole time she I watched this movie, I was like,
Good Will Hunting, too, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah. The whole time I was watching this movie, I was just like, I get why Hollywood was done with you. Like,
wow.
There's a reason like she kind of fell off, and it's got. I don't know. It's just she wasn't terrible, but their dynamic didn't feel natural to me at all. Initially, it felt like when they were, you could tell when they were improvising and somehow it made it into the movie. And you're like, this is not a good dynamic though.
Initially, I wasn't feeling her at all. I was just like, oh man. Like, I don't know. I was just kind of like,
the whole radio station thing felt very inauthentic. Well, like her speaking out into the streets, like a man comes back into my life.
Like, you don't think maybe
it's very high fidelity. Like,
yes. I don't know if it's
I feel like it's a victim of the times, man. Cause like, it just seemed like, like a bunch of fast turns, you know, where if they would have held out like the reveal a little longer, it could have made more drama, you know, because if you look at the even the time lapse of all that, that was literally one day she was totally upset with him and the next day she was totally in love with him.
And we do see it happen so quickly where like we learn that he's got this girl he's been pining over and then he is back in her life much quicker than you would think. Like he's all of a sudden he's in that studio with her.
But you know what they didn't have time to do, and I think she alludes to the fact that she got married and all of that. And the high school scenes are great because they do a good job of showing these people that are grown up, they filled out, but they're still more or less the same people they were in high school.
Yeah, 10 years is not that long.
Like, and I think we needed to see the guys she dated. Like, she told us, I dated this guy and it didn't work out.
Yep.
But we needed to see it because this only exists if she dated other guys who weren't up to snuff. Because if he comes back and she's with a guy she loves.
Right.
Like,
that's another thing.
Like, look at Tom Cruise. Right. He was on an island with Wilson.
Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks, excuse me. I always do that. I'm sorry. Tom Hanks on the island. And it's my favorite actor, too.
I confuse my white people, too. I'm like, you know, let me get my...
Tom something, fucking whatever.
He's on an island with Wilson. And, you know, and he survived a plane crash. And his wife's like, yeah, you were dead. So,
yeah, like,
you know,
Yeah.
And he's like, I guess I'll deliver this package. And so if she had anything else going on, and I think they try to play it like she was still in love with him. What they should have played it was like she was so done with other men.
Yeah.
And that's why she accepted him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a good point. And I don't want to pin it entirely on like Minnie Driver being the wrong choice. I think this is the weakest character in the movie. Like she's very childish and they still have her like she's back at her dad's home because her apartment burned down. It was the set of circumstances that like,
well, maybe that thing scarred her so much that she was stuck in
it. I get that maybe, but it was like
her house, didn't it?
Yeah. It burned down. Her apartment burned down on gate night, Devil's night. Yeah. The night before Halloween.
Yeah.
But it just felt like, she should have been so much madder. She slapped him that one time. She gave him a little bit of shit. Right. She was just like aching to have him back in her life.
She should have been fresh off the divorce.
And then she finds out he's a fucking hitman. Uh-huh. And it's like she still leaves town with him. I'm like, who is this person? This is an idiot.
But can I tell you what I really... I wrote some notes.
Yeah, let's get into it.
I feel like this movie was a movie of zero consequences. Like you literally could just walk through life. Yeah. Paper... like a cardboard house, you can literally just walk through, knock a wall down, and
Well, I mean, like
Carlito's way, he didn't get to keep going.
The fucking shoot up of the gas station, like that's the gas station
they walked away from it.
That's such a weird moment in this movie because I'm like, this has not been the tone up to that point.
No.
All of a sudden, it becomes this kind of slapsticky, like Naked Gun feeling thing just for a scene. And I'm like, what the fuck is... And I like that scene. I think it's very funny.
The fighting
scene's
good.
Like, the kid's response, he's like, are you okay? He's like, no,
I got a fun new job. it's very funny, but it's like, where is this coming from? It's just, this movie feels a little bit... like it's three different movies happening all at once.
Well, I think that's the thing that with these kind of movies, when you write a movie, it's like you Like, it's there's a reason why you see so many movies and you don't see one cop in the whole movie. What? And then at the end, after everything's settled, the good guy beat the bad guy, here comes the cops. Yeah, exactly. And it's like, it's whack, but it's like, it has to be that way. Because once cops get involved, shit flips.
Right.
Yeah. And this movie had cops in it. And apparently they couldn't do anything until he broke the law.
That was funny.
Kind of get that. And they were funny. But like once you
they weren't going to kill him though. That's a question I have. But yeah. They were NSA, right? But their plan was wait till he kills this other dude and then we kill him and we're the heroes. But you're carrying out a murder. You're officers of the law. What are you doing?
That was what I say, like the fast turns of it, was because like they would reveal a plot point, right? And then you'll get on board like, okay, who are these guys? And they literally just say, oh, this is who we are. And you'd be like, well, what was the point? with a grocer like turning on him, like, you know, obviously they established initially they're friends. And then it was like, well, wait, who's trying to kill him? And he's like, oh, you guys ain't get him yet? And I was like, you know, it's just like if you just held out a little longer. I think a modern movie would have, and I'm not saying it would have been better, like overall, I'm just saying that a modern movie, the reveal would have literally been the last second of it, you know. It's like, haha, it was me who said all this to get you. It's like, what, how dare you?
Right,
you know what I'm saying? But I just feel like with this movie, you know, it was fast paced, but for what it was at the time, I'm pretty sure, I don't even know if this was like a summer movie, but you know, I think it's supposed to have that feeling. You know,
I feel like the romantic comedy was put ahead of the whole hitman thing,
right?
Yeah,
so the hitman thing was like
it was his job.
It was a cute little backdrop. But
yes.
Murdering has never been so adorable.
Right. It's not a cute thing that you can just deal. Like, you have to deal with it. Like,
yeah. But like, it's
make
interesting.
Make him a DJ if you don't want him to, you know what I mean, have consequences.
But I do, if nothing else, like, I've never loved this movie as much as I want to based on the idea of it.
Right.
But I do think they did something interesting with it. They did. It definitely has a very particular tone as far as, like, the feel to it is I'm not sure I could compare it to any other movies.
I feel like,
and I don't think any other movies have attempted this kind of story and carried it off that much better.
I wouldn't have like the things you guys are pointing out, I cannot refute.
Yeah,
but I think,
but it's fun.
Like,
still,
Cusack,
there's something enjoyable to it.
I like Cusack so much. I always forgave this movie. I always thought, oh, it's kind of cool.
But it's a fucking 90s, cool movie.
Yeah,
man. It's a cool hitman. Like,
yeah, the 90s. You're supposed to do that. You're supposed to just watch and enjoy. Total Recall. Have you ever seen like there's so many crazy things that happen. You just accept it because it's Arnold.
Matter exactly. Fact, actually, well, it wasn't John Cusack was also in fucking Con Air. Like maybe the same year. And like if you look at that for what it is, it's fucking absurd.
Con Air.
But like it's just enjoyable, and this movie is definitely that. I will say
this came out the same year as Con Air.
It's got to be around the same time. This is 97. Con Air, 97. Con Air.
Wow.
You definitely have to take it for that time too, and just appreciate like, this was kind of a John Cusack was on a run, and he made some fun movies in that time.
Right.
And this is definitely one of those. You have to be willing to kind of accept a lot of like, what the fuck was that? But if you just go with it, it's very enjoyable.
And he does really good with the fight scene. He was a karate guy in one of the John Hughes movies. Like, was he in a karate guy in maybe, was it Pretty in Pink maybe?
Oh, wow.
I don't remember.
Oh, I know he had another movie where he did karate.
Anything?
Maybe Say Anything. Yeah, it was Say Anything, right. It was Say
he really,
Anything.
It was really Say Anything. He did really martial arts.
He must have, because maybe he learned it for the other movie, but the fight scene surprised me. I was like, all right.
Yeah, it was not bad. Like, I do remember thinking that, too. Like, that was John Cusack's holding it down right now.
You're talking about in the hallway.
Yeah. And he kills him with the pen that the guy just gave him.
And
let's talk about that line.
That
line bugged the hell out of me.
What line was that?
He goes, when she sees, so he goes, I did not do this.
It's not me.
No, he
it's
wasn't
me.
It's supposed to be.
He kept saying
me.
That. It's not
like,
me.
What? That's, it is you. It's
oh, yeah, you. Yeah. But that running theme was fun to me, like him constantly justifying. Like, it's not, like in that situation, he's like, the guy attacked me. And then he had the dude he was trying to
say
kill.
Say all of that.
The guy he was trying to kill in the hotel was, you know, he wakes up and he's like, what can I do to make you not do this? And he's like, it's not me. That was a very interesting look into like how a hitman must have to feel. Like, listen, I'm carrying it out.
Right.
Or like this dude attacked me. I'm not seeking out killing people, but it keeps happening. And that scene, like, man, when you see this poster of fucking John Cusack in sunglasses, all cutesy with Mini Driver, and it's all bright colors. You do not think you're going to see a dude get stabbed in the neck with a pen. Back down to realizing, like, oh, fuck, what this guy does is insane and dark. Yeah.
And I guess they
up.
Wanted you to see, like, from his perspective, like, how he keeps... Every time he takes a step into the real world or our regular world,
he gets brought back, dragged back down by that shit that he does. Yeah. But like her moment there, I think maybe I would have always enjoyed this movie more if she didn't leave with him at the end. Because when she shows up, she sees this dude bleeding out on the floor of a high school. She's a normal person.
But he does save her dad, I guess.
Yeah. But this has to be such a like...
You have my blessing.
The dad's great. I fucking love that dude. Like she's witnessing this as a normal person, and in the end goes with him, and like you see the horror on her face. Like, this is scarring. This is fucked
up. And that's
up.
The thing. She had to be a little off or damaged to even be attracted to him.
Yeah. There was definitely something weird about the two of them.
Yeah, we don't see that.
I didn't mind the leaving the end, but my thing was after she sees him killing someone,
right?
And she runs away in horror, right?
Right.
They still treat it like it's like some high school drama where she comes over like, do you have an explanation?
Like they need to have...
explain yourself. Like, bitch, why didn't you call the cops?
You should have been done.
You were an accessory to murder. Right. Why haven't you called the police?
Like they should have had whatever they... Like that scene they had, they should have had it right then. Or the next time he saw her. Okay, here's what happened. Blah, blah, blah. Because it's still like... You're right. Like she's not... Yeah. On the same, like it's like she saw him getting a blowjob or something.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
You just saw a grisly murder, by pen.
He was trying to kill you, right?
Yeah.
You didn't provoke this, right? I said it wasn't me.
Because even if he's trying to kill you, it's like, okay.
Why is he trying to kill you? I got a lot of questions.
And when did you learn how to kill people with a pen?
There's a difference between subduing somebody and murder.
What was great, and I don't know if every high school has this, I do like how they had the cremation center in the...
Oh, the fucking...
yes. Is that a thing high schools have?
The incinerator. No. I always wonder that. Like, maybe old buildings probably. I mean, it's in Michigan, so maybe that's like... The incinerator wouldn't have been for that purpose. It's to heat the school.
Right.
But... I did wonder that. Like, do schools have this in the basement? Did my school have this? Was this an option?
Oh, dope scene. The guy, the high school bully who, when he was about to attack him.
That's my favorite scene.
Oh,
that was good. Because they thought it was going to... They did two things. Go ahead. You go ahead.
I'd rather hear what you're going to say.
Well, they did two things that I was like, okay, I'll give you that. I'm proud of you. One was that scene. Because he had just killed the guy. And you're thinking... Like, if I'm in a movie watching with popcorn, I'm like, he's about to kick
his ass.
He's
going to fuck this dude up. He's at least going to punch him. At least one punch to the face.
I'm getting my popcorn.
He's going to give the bully what he's had coming to him for years.
He talks him down. He's like, man, we don't have a problem. Blah, blah. And you're
not mad at me. I'm not even real. What? Oh, this gets in my fucking head.
He said, what's really the issue, man?
That was before he killed him. That was before, because she was looking
at him. But still, you totally think, you see... Cusack is great in that scene
because
he gives you every inclination with his physicality tells you he's about to fuck this guy up.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then he just completely comes down off of it.
And I think, well, that was a good turn because she's like, oh my God, look at him. He's changed. Uh-huh. And then a few minutes later, she's like, did you just murder someone?
Like, I thought we were good.
That could have been the redeeming scene from the murder.
But he's still nice.
It wasn't me. I'm done murdering people.
You're right.
Oh, she's good.
And the other scene, which I'm glad they didn't do, because when she's in the tub with her father and he's like, you guys stay here. Okay, cool. And she has a gun. And she shoots. Okay, fine. But I'm like, she has a gun, and when he hits Dan Aykroyd with the television,
I can't wait to talk about that part.
Like when he leaves him there because he didn't have any bullets left. Like, yeah. These guys are proper hitmen. They shoot you, you're dead. They give you three more. We want to make sure, right? Yeah. And so he doesn't shoot him again. I'm thinking, oh, they're gonna do the classic movie thing where. He goes up. He's talking to Mini Driver.
Oh, right.
Dan
right.
Aykroyd comes up behind him all bloody. Yeah. And then she shoots him.
Still with the TV on his head.
Okay.
But they didn't do that. So
Since we're here.
Yes.
This was the funniest, cheesy part to me. He takes a TV, hits him over the head with it, right?
Mm.
Right. And I mean, I don't know if it's because they do this because he's a comedian or what. But Dan Aykroyd's on the ground, shocked. Like, he's shocking. Like,
you can hear it plugged in.
It was not plugged in.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I thought. In my head, I was like, oh, it just has a really long cord.
But maybe it has like a transistor that holds a little energy.
Let's smash my TV. We'll unplug it. We'll smash my TV. We'll see what happens.
This is a new TV. That was an old TV.
No, yeah, I was wondering that too. And I thought the same thing. Like, in my head, I'm like, well, maybe. But like, no, if there's no electricity running through it, there was no electricity.
Unless it was plugged in when he picked it up. When he first picked it up.
If it didn't come unplugged.
Even if. I don't know. It literally.
But that's such like. It was like a very. It did feel like a little comedy thing.
Funny.
Like his body like. Shakes a little bit. Yeah.
I'm like, what is happening?
But it's like when you cut off your router to reset it. You can't just cut it on and off. You got to cut it off, count to 10.
Yeah. All right. All right. I do love that scene too, though. Like how quickly this movie devolves into this massive shootout scene is very unexpected. Like, you don't see it ending that way at all.
You're right. We didn't need the shocking thing. That's a little silly.
I like it. I think it's funny.
But I do love how, like, professional killers, you think of them as, like, having a rifle with a long extension and silencer on it and poop, poop, and that's what they normally do. Uh-huh. But it's like a basketball player. Like, your shot's not falling. You find a way to win.
Got.
You get some boards.
Use what you got.
And so it's like, oh, I'll just kill you with a pen. I'll kill you with a TV. I kill people. So this is...
Yes.
I'll find a way to kill
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah. There's like a grittiness to that fight. Right. There's like that desperation of like, I'm just going to fucking kill you any way I can.
Yeah.
Whatever I got to do.
And they killed our buddies, man. Like, that was just so random.
What are you saying?
They killed our buddies. The NSA guys.
Oh, yeah.
We've been following them.
They were kind of cool, right?
Yeah,
I love how Dan Aykroyd has the biggest smile on his face as he's shooting these NSA guys that he's been working with.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's no really... He's just like, oh, you guys have been dicks.
These guys, they were so innocent. They were... They actually...
Well, they were fucking awful people, but...
They were giving John Cusack a chance, though. They're like, well...
If he doesn't commit a crime... Yeah.
But like, we'll kill him then. But like, yeah. You don't expect that either. That's another turn. Like, this movie just does little unexpected things, like watching them gleefully murder law enforcement officers out of nowhere. Like, oh shit! Right.
But like, yeah, to your point about the consequences, is like, even when they're on the road and they're going somewhere, it's like, wait a second, 20 people are dead in your house.
Like, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. This
you
is,
don't get to just go somewhere.
This will come into play when we pitch the sequel. I think exactly. This is
supposed to cover it up, but nope. No consequences. That's the name of the movie.
And it's fun, and it would be interesting to see like a slightly different take on this movie. What they could have done, or what the alternate takes were. I know I was reading a bit on IMDb, and the director talked about how he felt like he did one, like he shot a version that was the script. He shot a version that was a little more subtle, and then he shot a version that was a ton of improv and way over the top.
Right, right.
And he said they wound up using a lot of the third,
which is
interesting because I'm like, man, I think I'd like to see the other two. Maybe at least a little more of the other two in this movie. But there is that fun, like there's that over the top ridiculous nature of it where they're just like, yeah, they're just gonna skip town and be happily ever after now. But like, no, there's 30 people dead in the house.
Right, right.
Yeah. You guys are fucked.
I really just think it's a victim of the times. You know what I mean? Because I really feel like if they made that same movie off that same premise, I think it would already, even if it was even if it wasn't a good movie, they still would acknowledge some of these things or, you know, make them more, you know, just because it's just like, you know, the times we're in. The
exactly. It's just very, you could say the same of any decade, really. Like, there are amazing movies from the 70s, but then there are also 70s movies that are like, God, this is a fucking 70s movie.
Right,
like, this is really slow. Or what, in the 80s for sure. The 90s have a very particular tone. A lot of bright colors, very like crazy action scenes that don't make sense. A dude with fucking his headphones on playing Doom Arcade, like,
ew,
and not hear none like of that. That is the most 90s shit. But I love that. Like, I do enjoy that. But you're right. That's the way to watch this movie is to remember like when it was made and that maybe a better version of it could be done. But that's just by today's standard.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Let's get into these games while we have a little bit of time left. Let's make a drinking game out of this movie. So every time something repetitive happens, you have to take a drink. For me, I want to do it every time there's like a quippy dialogue exchange that doesn't actually make sense. I feel
that's
like
a lot of that.
I feel especially from him.
From
they
John
did
Cusack.
A weird his interactions with Dan Aykroyd, even his interactions with Minnie Driver. It almost felt like some of the time they were referencing inside jokes from their past that we didn't know. And I do think that is part of like I think that's this movie falling victim a bit to putting too much of the improv in.
Yeah, you gotta be careful.
It felt
with the
like
improv.
They were going for this. Really back and forth, quick dynamic. But I'm like, this is what are you saying? You're not saying words right. Like he's, this, some of the exchanges him and Dan Aykroyd had, I loved that about them because they were weird and all over the place. But there was a little too much of that for me. So every time that happens,
I got you. I would say every time he bumps into someone, because once he gets back home, he doesn't tell people he's coming. So it's that part of it was very much like Carlito's Way, like. I haven't seen Carlito's Way in a while, but
we should do Carlito's Way, man. I fucking
it felt like
love
it's 2 hours of people going Carlito.
Yeah, it is. It's funny. You can't go 10 feet without somebody recognizing.
And this is a lot of that, like just every few steps, it's like
yes, it's that small
I was about to say
town,
Lloyd, which is his other
it's
name,
that
but
small
yeah.
town feel where it's like as soon as he's back, everybody knows
exactly.
What do you think, man?
I'd say 90s corny, corny 90s dialogue because that's like pretty much kind of on line with what you're talking about. But yeah, everybody says his name. Like, I've never heard a hitman's name
that's
said
a good point.
So much.
They really, really drove it home. Like, they're like, you know, because it's called Gross Point Blank. Like, it's a double entendre. We're going to keep calling Martin Blank. Martin
I thought
Blank.
That was his code name.
Yes.
It's his real name.
Martin Blank.
He murdered people under the guise
yes, he
of
didn't,
Martin
He did
Blank.
Not have an alias.
And everybody knew
He's
it.
He's like, yo, but it's such a good hitman name. I'm not going to not be Martin Blank.
Right.
That's
been
funny.
His code name.
Yeah, that is real. Yeah, because like Dan Aykroyd's called Grocer, right? Like he's not, we don't know, is that his name? Is that a code name? Like he's just, I'm just going to go with my birth certificate. Just gonna put that out there. Let's come up with a new Oscars category for this movie, something it should have been nominated for. We touched on this a bit. I think it should get an Oscar for unlikely hitman casting because Dan Aykroyd is not who I expect to see as like the rival hitman, and he's so fucking enjoyable as him. And Cusack too is not necessarily like he's not the guy you'd think they'd get for this role. You could see like Bruce Willis
absolutely
in this role, but John Changes Cusack movie, makes it it makes it interesting.
Right. I'll go with this since we talked about it. I would say it should be nominated for romantic comedy with the least amount of doubt that they were going to get back together.
right.
From the moment he gets back. Right. But yeah, she had a little hiccup when he murdered someone brutally, but it's fine.
Yeah, I mean, she put him through more when he first got there. That little, should I date him, guys?
Yes, I'm going to put you on the radio.
Yo, everybody was saying no, and she was like, what do you think? Like literally everyone said no,
but it was even doing that. It's a yes.
Yeah. Yes.
If it's no, it's like
of
it's
course.
Like,
what do you think? Do I give him another chance? He's like, yeah, I'm in. What do you think, man? New Oscars category.
I got two. I got best unnecessary use of an accent when he comes back to over I guess her father's house or whatever, and then she goes, "You can't come in."
Oh
in
yeah,
a Jamaican accent.
You can't come in.
I was like, "What was that?"
That was so I didn't know what the fuck that was either. So I looked into it.
Okay.
Apparently, the song she's listening to in the background. That's in the beginning of the song.
Oh.
But it's like a known thing on the internet where they're like, that was fucking weird.
Was
and like a terrible accent and just felt racist because we didn't have any context. So it was like, what the fuck are you doing?
I would have felt better about it if there was at least one other race in the movie.
Like, yeah, dude, this was Minnie Driver, who is British, isn't she?
Yeah.
So a British woman playing an American woman doing a Jamaican woman accent.
But
it was like, this
was
not okay.
I didn't mind it. It just seemed so random.
It was weird.
You know? I mean, it was so weird. It was funny. Where did it? Once
I
again,
just didn't know what the fuck
in
it
a
was
movie like. Where you're always asking yourself, where is this coming from?
Yes.
That was just another, where is this coming from?
I thought it was just because the reggae music was on. I didn't realize that was like, oh, it's in the song and she's doing the exact thing. But
it was cute, though.
Yeah,
but your cat, come in. I forgot what he had the flowers on. She's like, you can come in.
Yeah.
And then my other one was, I said, best film. I'll say TV just because of the irony of it. The best film death being shocked by an unplugged TV.
It's a big ass.
We put that generator in our television.
It's solar. Let's come up with a better name for this movie. So Grosse Pointe is a real place in Michigan. I thought they just made it up for the pun of this movie title. It really did.
But
Grosse Pointe blank. Come up with a better name. What do you think, Dwayne?
Well, I think because the title doesn't tell you what it's about at all. And I can't remember if the previews did. I think I saw this not in theaters, in fact, because like, okay, what is it, right? So I think I'm a professional killer. Just get real.
About it. That's true.
Because he literally told everybody that.
So, I feel like this reads, at least from the poster and probably whatever 90s-ass commercials they did for it, like way more of a romantic comedy The Hitman thing is like, I feel like I would have been interested in this movie. I would have.
Or we could have went all the way with it. I'm in love with a professional killer.
Okay, that sounds actually.
I like it.
They actually sound like viable titles. None of mine do. But.
Right. Yeah, I went the other way, and I'm just trying to sum up expectations. I said, great idea, too much improv. It is. I love the pitch for this movie. Hitman goes home to his high school reunion. It's like, man, that's fucking fun. Like, but that's like, great.
We thought you were going to go to Harvard, Yale, you know?
No, I realized I wanted to kill someone. I wanted to feel someone's life leave their body. So I ditched this bitch on prom night and went and did that for 10 years.
Right, and that's the thing. You could have done that after the prom.
You know what?
I guess he summed it up as like, I realized I wanted to kill and I should not be around her. Like, so I left immediately, which is probably the right move.
Yeah.
I always think it's interesting when a movie describes a better movie. Like, wouldn't a prequel to this actually be really, really
fuck
dope?
It? That's a good point. I'd like to see that.
Leaving this girl, going to the army, and realizing he's a sociopath.
This kid who's like he was academically killing it. Like that is interesting.
Yeah, like
Let's just become
a machine, and he's like, yo, I just kill people.
Yeah,
I don't feel any remorse about it. Even him addressing the idea that he said, well, they had to do something to deserve it.
Yes.
If you see me, that means you're deserve it.
If you see me, you did something to deserve it.
Meanwhile, her father, irresponsible. I think he was going to actually do the right thing and blow the whistle.
Yes, I guess that's like what made him real. Yeah, because he was just a witness, right? He was not. He wasn't a great guy.
He was a bad businessman. He had done some unscrupulous things, but he was going to do the right thing in this moment, and you know, be killed for it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wait. So what else?
Oh yeah. Let me see. So yeah, mines are just. Actually just coming at the movie, I'm not gonna lie.
That's all good.
But yeah, zero consequences. I was gonna say white privilege, but I was like, that's hacky.
It's kind of pre that term.
It's just like, you know, just with the fact that he gets to do everything. But a lot of people say they say Batman is white privilege, so it's like, I don't know, it's done. Sociopathic coincidences. Because it's just like a lot of coincidences just kept happening. But the best coincidence of all, which such a slim chance, was the whole, you know, the father thing, you know, that ended up being the guy that he had to kill.
Yeah.
That was like, what are the chances of that?
It felt like they were trying to justify why in this moment in time does he have to stop being a hitman.
Because he didn't show any remorse. That's what I'm saying. Like, but he didn't show any character growth.
There was kind of a flaw there, too, though, because the whole setup was that you got this job in Detroit. You can stop by your town for your high school reunion while you're killing this dude. But the dude was in his town.
Yep.
They never made any sense of it.
No, what happened was she said go to the reunion. He said no.
And then she set up a...
Well, no, when he messed up that job, he was supposed to kill that guy and make it look like he died in his sleep.
Yeah. And he had to make up for it, so he had to take this other job.
And that's why he had to go to Detroit.
Well, yeah, but what I'm saying is that she kept trying to get him there under the guise of, like, you'll be in the area, you can go, you should go to your reunion. Well,
I think she said after that happened, oh, I take this as a sign, you should go to your reunion.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
I was a little confused by that. I'm like, wait, because I kept expecting when she's calling him and like, did you do it yet? I'm like, I thought the dude he's killing was in Detroit. I didn't know.
He was so non-shocked that Dan Aykroyd was in Grosse Pointe.
Like
when he seen him, he was like, oh, what are you doing here?
Oh, yeah. I mean, even right when he first got to town, he like clocked that other hitman who was in town. He's like, that's a hitman. He might just be a cagey little dude.
That's another thing, too. Oh, yeah. I put early reveals. because whatever they would set up, they would literally knock down in the next scene.
It gets into it quick.
No build up, you know, like, you know, just because just like with the chick, you know, it should have been over a course of time. She slowly forgave him, and she should have, you know, she should have started to forgive him, seen him murder somebody, and then totally just, you know, like, you know, she should have been fucked up for life.
Because that would have been the sort of the all is lost moment.
Yes. Yeah.
But it wasn't really. He got right back.
Oh, it was. Well, she showed up to this house. Which, you know what? I'm not gonna lie, it's probably closer to real life. Because when women get mad,
it's true. And she wants to believe like this guy's back, and he's like he's a good dude now. I'm gonna go see why he killed him. I'm just gonna see why.
You better have a good explanation.
Explain yourself, Mister.
He was covered in blood, standing over somebody.
You run to the police station.
I don't need any other things. Yeah, pretty much that was it.
Let's round it out with. We already talked about a great prequel idea. Let's pitch the sequel to this movie. I kind of touched on this already. I think the sequel would be in the vein of Orange is the New Black, and it's all about Debbie's life in prison because she is an accessory to many murders.
Oh, that's
and
funny.
They get caught immediately when they leave town. Like, what that's the fuck? Funny. Where are you
that's
going?
Funny.
You're not
that's
going.
Hilarious.
In. Dwayne, what do you think, man?
I think it's the 20-year reunion, and
I like that take.
He hasn't killed anyone in 10 years. But now he has to take out...
But he's getting the itch again.
Well, like, something went down, and he has to take out, like, the majority of people he went to school with.
He has to murder everyone at the reunion. Right.
That's funny.
What have they been doing? My God, in the last 10 years, the town has just become this corrupt, awful hotbed of illegal activity.
Well, once they saw him get away with the murder in the beginning, they were like, shit, there's no one watching. We can do whatever we want.
This town's off the radar. What do you think, man? Finish it out for us.
Real quick, though, I wanted to go back to this. When he put out the note, I thought it was going to be like a love letter to him, like, you know, like say I loved you this whole time. The bully guy, whatever.
Oh, right.
Oh yeah, definitely. I thought the poem was going to be about him, and it was basically like, I'm such an asshole because I'm gay, and
that's another thing. They didn't go that way with it either.
They didn't. I mean, there was definitely like the undertone of
they probably
like,
cut it out.
Gay.
Yeah, that probably wasn't the time for it back then. But you know, yeah, I would think they should have went for it now. Sequel. Okay, stick with me.
All right, let's do it.
Okay,
it's kind of punny. Okay. Gross Point Blank Ranger.
Okay.
They're on a you know, they have to get away, so they're like on a range, you know, and you know, he's like a,
like, you mean like a field, open field, like,
yeah, and he's like, you know, he has to murder people. I don't know. I just like the title more than I had.
I'm realizing I didn't flesh out the concept.
Point
I just
blank
got the
range is sitting right there. Point blank range.
Yes.
You know what
point
I mean?
Blank range.
He has a hat, like Texas Ranger.
Right.
You know, he's riding a horse and he's just murdering
people.
If
there's any way to squeeze more puns into this movie title, you've done it. And that's, you know, that's not an easy task.
You know, it's crazy. The HBO show with
Barry.
Bill Hader?
Yes.
Yeah.
Barry.
It's kind of like, it feels like this movie a bit.
That is an execution of this idea that I like a lot more.
Right,
where
exactly.
It's darker,
it's darker.
And has very funny moments and very funny characters,
right.
But they respect the darkness
death.
Of the
right,
situation.
Right, right.
Like that. Uh-huh. But I think it's what Jeremy was saying, like that is a very 2018 take on this story.
Right.
And this is just a very 90s
take.
Exactly.
And
then there's, you know, I'm sure we can go back to funny or lovable hitmen or bad people movies, you know, go back through time. And it's like, do they hold up? I don't know, but it's always a fun idea. I love anything with a hitman is always fun to me. I don't know. That's just like,
I agree.
Good movie experience.
Because no one knows a hitman.
Yes, it's such a movie world. It's such a movie world.
So you could take such liberties. Well, now we
man, he's been trying to tell us, and I'm getting concerned.
That's why he was like, "Wait, why did Dwayne pick this movie?"
Yeah. He's getting all suspicious.
You're on to me.
Am I that obvious?
Also, real quick, I wanted Bill Murray and the other Ghostbusters to play the antagonists.
You're onto something though. Yeah, that'd be dope.
I like it. That I think that does it for this week, man. Thanks for being
thank
here.
You, man.
Thank you, man.
Tell everybody where to find you online, all that sort of stuff.
Oh yeah. Jeremy, okay, this is the hard part. SCIPPIO. That's .com, Instagram, Facebook, everything. Well, Instagram actually is Jeremy Comedy. Also, check my comedy album out. It Happens to the Best of Us. It's available everywhere, but I prefer iTunes. You know what I mean? Yeah, guys. And support. Got more stuff coming. Real quick, I love you guys so much separately. You know what I mean?
It's cool you guys are working together. But together we're awful.
Cool. Yeah. No. I'm just saying.
But this was brutal.
No, I'm just saying that, you know, I have stories with you guys, you know, each, you know, like I've been knowing you guys probably like 6-7 years now.
Yeah, man.
Absolutely.
Not
even
thinking about it, but yeah, man, time flies. And
yeah, great to have you here, man. I was super, I can't believe we hadn't already had you. I was really glad to see his name pop up. I was like, fuck yes, dude. We need to get him in here. This was fun, man.
Yeah, it was dope. It was dope.
Look forward to working with you guys too again.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm DwaynePerkins.com. That's my website, and you can see what I'm doing. Dwayne Perkins all over social media, spelled D-W-A-Y-N-E. And actually, my Netflix special, which is not on Netflix now, is on Stars. Or if you have the, you can go to the Laugh Out Loud Network, which is Kevin Hart's online network. So if you're wondering where to find that.
So, you put online in air quotes. You guys didn't see that.
What's a network? What's online?
He's like, it's a network.
No. Much love. Big props to them
Check
picking
it
up.
Check it out, guys. It's super funny.
You know, it was on Netflix. They licensed it for 2 years.
Oh,
and
okay.
Now Stars picked it up.
I watched it, I think 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I am at TK Kelly Comedy on Twitter and Instagram. Follow us at Movie Nightcast on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Send us your ideas, suggestions, love, hate, whatever you got for us, guys. We love hearing from you. Jeremy, thanks again for being here, man. Thanks for listening, guys. Tune in next week.
You've been listening to Movie Night with Dwayne Perkins and TK Kelly. Be sure to like them on Facebook. Just search for Movie Night Podcast Show. And follow them on Twitter. Just search for @MovieNightCast.